how easy it is to get the money you need.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, guys, do you know your testosterone levels?
Why not?
Each year, declining testosterone robs more of your energy, drive, motivation, and yes, it even affects your romantic life. Take control of your testosterone levels and give us a call. Progene, the leading testosterone supplement found at GNC, Rite Aid, and other national retailers, is actually giving you a free one-month supply with this exclusive radio-only offer, but only if you call today. So if you'd like to feel younger like you did in your 20s, call now to try Progene risk-free and feel more power, performance, and passion with Progene. Don't believe us? We'll even prove it works. Ask about our at-home testosterone test kits and see for yourself what Progene can do for you. Call 1-800-710-2881 for details. With over 20 million tablets sold, you too can get back in the game with Progene. That's 1-800-710-2881. Again, that's 1-800-710-2881.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, grey, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. Your low-price journey starts at Discount Tire.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Good afternoon, Arizona. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Carrie Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the latest information and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and healthcare experts. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's Facebook.com/Dr. Talk. It's time for Dr. Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay White and Dr. Bordinko.
Hi, welcome to another Saturday edition of Dr. Talk. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy weekends to join us for another show, and we hope you find these informative and help you take back control of your health care. I'm in the studio today with my co-host, Dr. Belinda Barclay White, and we have a rather unique topic we're going to bring to you today, which is patient advocacy and how to fight those nagging insurance denials that we've all seen once or twice and we hate dealing with.
So it has to be the biggest bane of our lives as physicians and certainly as patients fighting insurance companies. It all seems fairly clear. You're insured with this insurance and you're allowed to see these doctors and you're allowed to go to these facilities. But unfortunately, it isn't all simple and it's not very obvious what's going on. So I think this is going to be a fairly spirited conversation. We're at two ends of the spectrum. I actually, I'm somewhat ashamed to say, have opted out of insurance for what I do. So I don't have these problems so much anymore. I do take Medicare, so and Medicare is relatively straightforward for me. Carrie's at the other end of the spectrum and spends a lot of time dealing with insurance companies on behalf of her patients. Correct?
I do. And like you, I mean, this is pretty unique. I think a lot of our listeners probably now know what concierge medicine is. So I don't actually take insurance. But as part of our health advocacy that all our clients and patients do receive under Consulari, we help them fight insurance claims. So I was really excited when we decided to do this topic because it's something I do spend an inordinate amount of time helping people mingle through that system. And, you know, you would think it would be nice and straightforward and simple, but it's not. And I know that Brendan's going to be joining us from patientadvocate.org and help explain some of the nuances of how people can take a stronger hold on fighting those denials and not just kind of succumbing to hopefully, you know, paying a bill that should have been paid for by their insurance. But it is something that we're not taught in medical school. So,
right.
And I think a lot of times too, unfortunately, the patient thinks the doctor is on that adversarial end, and we're really not. We're both caught in fighting the insurance companies and doctors as much as the patients want the patient to get what's right by them. Unfortunately, we're not trained on how to help them. And so that's really what we want to try and help our listeners understand today.
Do you have any idea what percentage of claims are denied the first time around?
You know, I don't have great stats in front of me. One of the stats that we use, though, is 1 in 7 claims is incorrectly billed.
Okay.
So either the patient is billed on a denial that should have been paid, or they're billed for services that weren't truly rendered, or they're billed above the allowable. So all those things equal something our listeners don't want to hear, which is you're actually paying more than you're supposed to. And that's 1 in 7 claims. So that's very frequent. How many are actually denied, you know, that are appropriately denied or denied because there's a coding error, which is very common. And, you know, that falls back on the responsibility of the provider for that service. I would have to guess, and maybe Brendan can enlighten us with some stats on this, but I would have to guess we're probably talking close to 30 or 40% of claims are denied initially that will get paid on the appeal process.
Eventually.
So
it can take years, right?
It can absolutely take years. And, you know, one of the other things we're going to have for our listeners today on the show is we're actually going to have a live person in the studio telling us about a scenario, which I think is very common for a lot of people. So with all that going on, I want to introduce Brendan and tell our little listeners about why we reached out to their organization, which is, once again, patientadvocate.org. We're going to give you more details on that in the next segment. But Brendan is a patient bilingual case manager with Patient Advocate Foundation. After graduating with a double Bachelor of Arts in Biological Science and Spanish Language and Culture, Brendan completed 2 years of postgraduate coursework in Latin America. He began working as a case manager through a subsidized housing program by HUD, facilitating access to primary health care for migrant workers' families in Southern California, which is where he's joining us by call-in today. In addition to acting as a healthcare liaison, he frequently performs bilingual healthcare outreach to the Hispanic Latino population in Southern California, helping more patients resolve access challenges and utilize Patient Advocate Foundation Services. So, Brendan, say hi to our listeners today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking some time to join us today and help educate our listeners on how they can be stronger advocates for themselves.
Absolutely, and thanks for the introduction. My background is in nonprofit social work, and I've been with the foundation for nearly 9 years, and I believe it's a very vital service in today's kind of healthcare and insurance reimbursement world to have an advocate on the side of an ill or a frustrated patient, particularly to deal with these insurance issues.
So, tell us a little bit about Patient Advocate Foundation. It is a not-for-profit, correct?
Yes, and the mission of the foundation is really to safeguard patients, providing effective mediation, assuring access to care, maintenance of employment, and preservation of financial stability for those with a chronic, debilitating, or life-threatening illness. So we're really a business partner. We address issues that would compromise the access and continuity of care for patients with over 300 different chronic and debilitating illnesses, with cancer being the most prevalent. And specifically, we secure pre-authorizations or prior authorizations for services. We reconcile and audit medical bills to resolve coding and billing issues. And we help to facilitate the appeals process. Among other ways, we attempt to simply minimize the financial damage or detriment of care.
And I think many of our listeners, you know, you said cancer is one of the primary reasons. You know, cancer treatments get into the millions, you know, not just thousands anymore, but we're talking about millions of dollars. So that has to be one of the number one reasons I would think families would outreach to you, because you can quickly bankrupt an entire family with the cost of today's pharmaceuticals, with frequent hospitalizations, readmissions that go on afterwards. That ongoing care can be very scary to, you know, to the consumer who doesn't know what they're getting into. So I would think you offer a lot of peace of mind knowing that they have an advocate in the background helping them out.
Absolutely. We really understand the coverage demands of cancer and other very expensive chronic diseases. And, you know, they're with a lot of the newer targeted therapies, a lot of the cutting edge treatments that are coming down the pipeline, there can be some real issues with administrative issues with insurance reimbursement. There's a real there can be some real cost prohibitive concerns around certain therapies, and as you said, cancer treatment can be such an extensive experience for patients, and they really need an advocate by their side throughout that whole process.
So we are talking with Brendan Beatry, who is a case manager for patientadvocate.org, and we will be right back after the break.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Talk, and remember to join us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Dr. Talk. We welcome your comments, especially on this topic. We'll get right back with you after the break.
Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600 for an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
When
you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. Dr. Bordinko and myself are talking to Brendan Beatree from the patientadvocate.org foundation. Patient Advocate Foundation, which is patientadvocate.org. And we're talking about the frustration of dealing with our insurance companies on being reimbursed for procedures that we think are covered, but turn out 30% of the time not to be, apparently. So, Brendan, we were going into the break, but give us some examples of fairly common questions and problems that patients call you with, even when they think they have a good insurance company that's covering them.
Well, sure. And each year, the foundation publishes a report that really tries to document trends that are happening in the healthcare and insurance reimbursement world. And we've seen, as of late, there's been a pronounced spike in patients reaching out to us who are unable to obtain a pre-authorization for certain medications and therapies. We've seen, this is in part, to increase numbers of medications being removed from drug plan formularies, and the formularies a list of covered drugs by both private insurance plans and really specifically Medicare. Also, some physicians may be prescribing treatment for chronic disease management such as asthma, diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure, common autoimmune conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, without adhering to step therapy requirements outlined by the plan. And what I mean by that is, if we're talking about a diabetic patient, that diabetic patient, per his or her insurance plan, would have to try an oral medication or therapy before trying an injectable due to cost or just as part of the step therapy system.
Brendan, if I can interrupt on that, just as an internist who sees patients every day and a treating physician, I encounter this on a daily basis. So what I would like our listeners to understand as well, and I think you're kind of alluding to it, is these step therapies, as they call it, or you must try drug A before we can order drug B, is not a medical decision. And that's the biggest problem I think you're having on your side as an advocate, and I'm having on my side as a prescriber, is we know that the drugs they're trying to get us to choose are subpar drugs. They have a higher side effect profile. They don't do the job as well, but yet they want us to put somebody on these medications for 90 days and have them, quote unquote, fail. And then we can give them the correct drug and they can feel better. And I think that's the big challenge that I'm facing on my side, and I think that's what you're also alluding to.
Absolutely. It's a really heavy challenge. When the doctor really, in his or her clinical mind, believes that a drug is superior to another but has to go through these administrative hoops, it can confound the patient and frustrate the medical team. So we really need to, whenever possible, present any contraindications or side effects of previous lines of treatment to the insurer in the event that it's lacking, so that they can see, well, the patient isn't responding to a particular treatment. Let's let them graduate one step and try an injectable or the more proper recommended therapy.
So who makes these decisions? Who works out that we should try drug A before we're allowed to use drug B?
Well, in a general sense, Medicare is really a benchmark for how other commercial plans are outlined and drawn together. So in some cases, it's due to clinical literature on clinical efficacy, but it's also Medicare that serves as that benchmark. And then patients, particularly we see it with chronic diseases, asthma, diabetes, certain autoimmune conditions. And it can be really frustrating.
And one of the things I noticed this year, since we're talking about drug formulary specifically, when we had the Affordable Care Act or the Obamacare come down, is I saw a lot of the Part D, which is the Medicare pharmacy benefit formularies, come down with drugs that were just not covered in any class. So it wasn't even a stepwise approach or a generic alternative. They just said this class of medications is no longer going to be covered under your Medicare benefit. And I know personally I was involved in a lot of denials and appeals on those, and there was no way around that because they either consider those drugs to be enhancing someone's lifestyle or just not medically a problem, which I think in the medical world we may view that very differently.
Absolutely. There are many non-preferred, or they may even call them designer drugs that are really, perhaps they're more medically appropriate for a patient who has experienced side effects, et cetera. And it's a really frustrating and difficult process for us advocates, and I imagine for you physicians and clinicians as well.
So can I ask you a question about pre-authorization? If you have a pre-authorization over the phone, typically, does that guarantee that they will pay you? Because my experience is that it doesn't necessarily.
It should, but you're absolutely right. We see in some cases where a pre-authorization is initially granted, for it could be a procedure or a diagnostic imaging or a therapy. And then later on, perhaps there was lack of medical information available, or just simply an administrative error on the insurance side. But that does happen. So it does not guarantee coverage, and we really have to dig in deep and liaise between the patient and the insurance agent to try to come to a resolution in those cases.
So you will actually do that? You actually liaise between the patient? You actually talk to the insurance companies on behalf of the patient?
We would obtain verbal authorization from the patient if that's the swifter, more expedient way to handle things, or in some cases a written or signed authorization is required, and then we can step in and serve as that third-party advocate and try to come to a resolution.
Brendan, I want to ask you, I want to segue away from the pre-auth question. I'm sure we're going to actually get back to it in another segment, but I want to lead into another big topic, and we actually have a guest in our studio that's going to tell her own personal story on this. But I just want to touch base on talking about hospitals in-network and out-of-network providers, because that seems to be a really big problem growing across the U.S., where patients go into an emergency room, they look to see if that emergency room is actually listed on their provider network, so they walk in, good faith is like I like to call it, they see an emergency room physician, that physician lines up consulting physicians to treat them, and then wham, they go home and they're stuck with thousands of dollars in bills. So that's an area I think we want to dig deep into on the show. And if you could just give me a quick 30-second synopsis on that, and then we'll go into more detail when we come back from the break.
Well, we run into this a lot, and specifically with emergency services. And, in some instances, when we talk about ways we can appeal these decisions or for in-network reimbursement, sometimes there are ways that if you show an insurer that there's no suitable local in-network provider or that they didn't follow standard protocol in referring out, in verifying insurance benefits, then you can come to some kind of middle passage with the insurer. But we do see this quite often.
Okay, perfect. We're going to get more on that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 99.3 FM.
pause for a look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
A wake being held today for New York City police officer Win John Liu. Correspondent Sarah Gannon reports from the funeral home in Brooklyn.
We're seeing dozens of people go in. The police commissioner, Bill Breton, and also the mayor, Bill de Blasio. We've seen several lines of officers in the rain standing here waiting to go inside, pay their respects.
Dr. Seema Yasmin reports people are not getting the flu shot because they think it's defective.
So now we have a situation where less than half of all Americans who should have received the flu shot have actually received it. And that really makes people a lot sicker. It's important to remember that, yes, this year's flu shot isn't a perfect match for one of the strains that's circulating, but the flu vaccine protects against three, maybe four different strains of the flu. So it still offers some protection.
Crazy weather right now. Until 6 p.m. local time, tornado warnings are in effect from Louisiana to Alabama. Snow, ice, and rain are falling in the Midwest and eastern parts of the U.S. I'm Molly Page.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the fresh start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now. 800-299-1855. That's 800-299-1855. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-299-1855.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. We are here today talking about patient advocacy and how it can help you understand those annoying insurance denials, appeals process. What are your rights? What are the insurance company's rights? And we have from patientadvocate.org, Brendan joining us from California, who is a case manager advisor helping patients kind of drudge through this annoying issue with insurance companies denying so much of what's going on in healthcare today. So when we left the last segment, we were just starting to talk about the emergency room situation. And I think all our listeners will agree that's a situation where you're not really thinking about my insurance card at the moment. You're just thinking about your loved one or yourself and getting stable, getting medical treatment and going home at some point. So we have a guest in the studio today. I have Brooke here sitting with us, and she's going to actually share some of her frustrations, and I want Brendan to kind of weigh in and help her understand maybe what could be done differently. So, Brooke, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Dr. Barclay White. Hi, Dr. Bordinko. Hi, Brendan. Thank you for having me.
I wanted
to share a story that is very common. It's happened to a lot of my friends. Some family members have had some similar experiences. 2 years ago, my six-month-old daughter had difficulty breathing. We called our pediatrician right away, and she said, if it gets any worse, go straight to the hospital. I'm going to call down there. And she called down there, said, go right through the emergency department, and we'll get you a room. We'll get Isabel taken care of. So as it got worse on our way down to the emergency room, she was diagnosed with RSV. And we were told that we could not leave. She had to be admitted. She had to stay overnight for monitoring. Her airways could close up. It was a very dangerous situation. I made sure we went to a hospital that was approved by our insurance company. And after that point, my whole focus was on my daughter and getting her better. So after that experience, we were months later, paid our bills, thousands of dollars of medical bills. In fact, we reached our deductible at that point. And I was sent a bill from the emergency room physician stating that my insurance company did not cover their help, their treatment of her. Is this something that's common?
Well, what you're referring to, Brooke, is balance billing, and it's a very controversial and often illegal practice by which healthcare providers, or the health plan pays less than what your doctor or hospital charges and wants to be paid, essentially, and then the provider can demand the balance from you. Now, in some states, unanimously, the Supreme Court has passed a ruling that makes this an illegal practice, and these states, such as California and other states across the country, are serving as precedents for this type of issue. As advocates, I would say that we try to get right in the middle of where this is, how this is happening, and where this is happening between the provider and the insurance plan, and really force either the plan to cover at an inpatient or more contractual rate, or in some cases the provider, it's really on them to write off a portion of it to uncompensated care, or offer some other options such as a prompt pay discount or some level of charity care to relieve the patient and family. So it's, we see it, it's a hot button issue, and it's highly contested, and whenever possible. We also have letters that we write on behalf of the patient to the insurer to just help them, hold them accountable. And in many cases we're successful with at least a partial discount on behalf of the patient.
I have a question. I think a lot of people assume, and I hate using the word assume when we're getting into legal terms here, but that if they look in their catalog or their preferred provider listing, or they go onto the website and they say, okay, my insurance company says I can go to hospital X, they assume that the emergency room providers and that the doctors that are going to take care of them must be also approved by that insurance company. How is that not what happens? I think that perplexes everyone.
Well, it's as a result of a contractually adjusted pay rate, and it certainly depends on the insurer and even the insurance plan. We see it quite. It's very much an area of healthcare reimbursement that needs further attention and reform, and it's so difficult when you are in that situation as a patient and a mother and a father or an aunt, whatever you may be. That you don't have the presence of mind, nor can you do that benefit verification at the time of the service. So this is an area that we are really focused. We're focusing on the trends. We're zeroing in on regions and states where this is happening with higher regularity, and of course, at no cost to patients, we step right in and try to resolve this, come to some reasonable resolution for the patient.
Brendan, can you share with me what my next step would be? Would I contact your web? Would I go on your website? Is there a phone number? How could somebody in my situation get help from your organization?
You would absolutely contact us via our website and request services of a case manager, or you can call us at 800-532-5274. You'll be greeted by a medical intake specialist who will take some demographics, insurance info, and of course, the nature of your concern, and then you'll be assigned to a case manager that can tackle the situation on an ongoing basis for you.
It seems,
at no cost.
And it seems like California has different laws than Arizona. Is there another component of that? Can people like me here maybe contact our legislative, or how would we go about getting some heightened attention to that issue?
Yes, well, many of states offer consumer assistance programs, and that's independent of the Department of Insurance that would, or other advocates, many other for-profit advocate firms and services that can step to the plate for you. And then, obviously, you feel free to write your congressman and just alert them as to what's happening. In many cases, that's a very viable recourse for you. But definitely the Department of Insurance presides over the state insurance plans and can definitely advise you and in some cases help you draft a letter of appeal or some sort of grievance against your insurance plan.
And did you say that the Department of Insurance is a private company or is it a government?
That's a government agency.
A government agency. Okay. Okay. Yes, I know I've sent several patients that way over the years. But I'm glad to hear about you because I think you're a little more accessible, actually.
So with Brooke's scenario, obviously she's leading into a topic we want to make sure we touch base on, and that's the appeals process. And I think some people think the appeal is a one-time fire and then you're done if you get turned down. And I know you're going to help educate us that there's multiple levels of appeal. So will you walk us through that quickly?
Absolutely. There are... well, it depends on your insurance plan. If you're privately insured, chances are you'll have three levels of appeals. You'll have the first level, which is termed a reconsideration, and it may or may not involve a formal appeal packet with a letter and evidentiary support. It may simply be resolved over the phone with an agent, or just simply by supplying additional medical information. And that second level would involve a more formal appeal, and I would recommend that you avail yourself of the services of an advocate such as our foundation. You might actually be required to gather evidentiary or peer-reviewed articles, any current medical literature that might document the medical effectiveness of the services.
And your doctor can help you with some of that, right?
Absolutely, and many doctors some doctors are more familiar with how the process goes and are a bit better advocates and really have the experience under their belt to write a very compelling letter of medical necessity for whatever treatment is being denied. So your doctor team can help you, and you can do some of the work yourself.
So you're listening to Dr. Talk, and we'll be right back after the break. You can also hear us on www.facebook.com/Dr. Talk.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Join board-certified and personal physician Dr. Carrie Bordinko every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 a.m. and 99.3 FM for Dr. Talk, where we put healthcare back in your hands. Each week, we'll have a full panel of nationally known medical experts as guest speakers, taking an in-depth look at the issues that affect us all and matter most. Tune in this Saturday at 1 p.m. for Dr. Talk.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk. And use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. We're having a very interesting conversation on insurance issues, insurance refusals for payment, and how we would deal with that. And we are talking to Brendan Beatry, who is a patient advocate who works for a Patient Advocate Foundation, website patientadvocate.org. And going into the break, we were talking about three levels of appeal. So could you just summarize the first and second level and then talk about the third level of appeal when your insurance claim has been denied?
Sure. The first level appeal or request for reconsideration, the purpose of that appeal is to prove that your either pre-authorization or post-service claim does actually meet the insurance guidelines and it was incorrectly rejected. And this appeal can happen over the phone. Your doctor can actually request a peer-to-peer review with the insurance agent or plan. If that should fail, there's a second level appeal that's typically reviewed by the medical director of the insurance plan. And the goal of the appeal is to prove that the request should be accepted within their coverage guidelines. Now, if this additional level is unsuccessful, then in many states, and as a result of the Affordable Care Act, there's an external review privilege. So that involves an independent third-party firm, usually, that's unbiased and makes a decision not based on the previous two levels of denials. That physician who reviews the third level of appeal has to be board certified in the same specialty as the patient's physician. So that's just in short words, those are the three levels.
And Brendan, does that third level appeal, do they use a different set of rules or criteria? Is that why it makes a difference?
Well, it's an unbiased firm, and they're not really allowed access to any of the terms of the previous two denials. So they can't base their decision on the first level reconsideration or second level appeal. And actually, in many states, you can find numbers on this that once the appeal arrives at the external review, that about 40% of these denials are overturned for patients. So it's a promising, final recourse for folks.
I think that's a very positive number for our listeners to hear. I mean, that's really some light at the end of the tunnel.
So it's sort of worth hanging in there for all those weeks and months and all the frustrating phone calls and gathering of paperwork, because there is a chance that you might win.
Unfortunately, I think that says something about the denial process within the insurance industry.
Yes.
If we're overturning
Absolutely.
That many. So that in itself is a problem. Now, I know that you have some patient examples that you wanted to share with our listeners today, just some scenarios that might help them understand this and if it applies to them. So could you go ahead and share a couple of those for our listeners now?
Well, absolutely. And here at the foundation, we've been seeing more and more denials of coverage for routine patient costs associated with participation in a clinical trial. And we see this up most often with cancer patients, specifically advanced cancers, where there may be a chemo or immunotherapy or a biologic that's being recommended for a particular cancer. It may be denied because it's being used as an off-label recommendation or indication. Or there's a combination of drugs that's considered experimental. So just a number of years ago, we assisted an advanced melanoma patient out in Texas to overturn, and this was an external review, a third-level denial, and we encouraged the insurance plan to cover drugs recommended for a very cutting-edge adoptive cell therapy. But we had to secure authorizations and do quite a bit of research just to be able to provide what little existed out there in the peer clinical literature to support efficacy, et cetera. And we were able eventually to have these services compassionately approved by the insurance plan. And it saved the patient upwards of $70,000 in medical costs. And that was kind of an isolated example, but it does show you that, really kind of enduring and persisting through the appeals process, never give up, take it to the absolute highest level and, presenting evidence along the way involving your entire medical team, not just your primary, but all your specialist physicians. and you know, put together a really compelling case, and in some cases you can be successful with that.
And I think about how many of our listeners that are tuning into this show would say, I don't even have $70,000 as discretionary income. So if you were not there helping them push for this advanced treatment option that clearly was going to give them better outcomes, you know, survivability, this would not even be on the table for most people.
Absolutely. Many of us don't have a benefactor who can step in, a family member, or the fundraising energy that is required to raise these funds. So it really takes, this is really the kind of scenario where you need an advocate and you need your medical team to be on board 110% for you.
So can you give us another example of another case where you've been able to jump in and help someone, not just from the standpoint of cutting edge treatments, but, you know, I think there's just so much to talk about on this topic. It's really hard to do it in a 1 hour show. But if you could give one more example to our listeners of how patientadvocate.org can jump in and help.
Well, absolutely. I'll reference the step therapy situation from earlier really briefly. We helped an elderly lady in Virginia who was suffering from hypertension and repeatedly, not responding to several lines of therapy. And these were oral medications that her doctor was recommending. And the doctor recommended something on the fancier side of a non-preferred medication that her Medicare plan was refusing to cover. And we were able to involve the physician and orchestrate a peer-to-peer review with the insurance plan, with the medical director, in fact, and overturn that denial, and now she has access to her medication. Another situation is one that we're currently fighting, and this is for a hepatitis C patient who does not have a severe enough condition. This is kind of one of those that really troubles us as human beings. This is a Hep C patient who was recommended a very expensive cutting-edge therapy that has been FDA-approved for those patients with more severe or progressed illness. And it's been shown in some studies to really be effective, and there are disease-specific associations that are backing this medication. So that's something we continue to fight, and we're putting together a really compelling letter. And I just wanted to give that example for all of you who are maybe in the throes of an appeal of this kind and can really learn from that.
And I think that's hard for our listeners to understand, too, when there are outside sources pushing for a treatment that is deemed cutting edge, and maybe it's just more of a commercial marketing approach. They really are getting the best decided medication or treatment or imaging from their provider. But, you know, sometimes we have these outside influences in our kind of fast-paced TV commercial world that drives people to ask for things that they really don't need, that aren't the best. And that's, I would think you guys are also an advocate in that side to help them sort that out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in our wrap-up here, Brendan, I want to ask you, just for people who might have missed it in the earlier segments, you know, we've been talking about denials, appeals, the annoying way that insurance company tells us that they're not going to pay for something, and what the patient's rights are to get those denials overturned, how to structure an appeal, and who to reach out to. Would you just go ahead and reiterate for our listeners your website, how they can reach out to you?
Absolutely. Feel free to use our website at patientadvocate.org. Many of the publications, including our guide to the appeals process, could be useful. You can find that at patientadvocate.org/publications, or feel free to give us a call at 800-532-5274 and just seek out the services of a case manager.
And we're going to be posting a lot of your information and some links and some great statistics that you've provided during the show to our own Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Dr. Talk. And for our listeners out there, feel free also to join our blog page. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, we welcome hearing those, and we use those in future shows to help kind of come up with topics that we know our listeners want to know more about, as we empower you, you know, to take back your health care and not just roll with what's going on in today's healthcare market. So another wonderful Saturday. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy weekends to join us on Dr. Talk, and we appreciate your support on our Facebook page. So thanks once again for joining us, myself and Dr. Belinda Barclay-White in the studio. Thanks for joining Dr. Talk on Money Radio, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM.
You've been listening to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
I'm Jane Wells. America is going to pot, and in 2015, tax revenues from legal recreational marijuana will explode like a weed. Inhale these three predictions. First, bank on it. The one remaining hurdle in this all-cash business is banking. The federal government has eased regulations, but most banks still won't touch marijuana money. In 2015, banks will change their minds as alternative banking systems pop up to take potential pot business from them. Second, pot pushback. Despite more states legalizing cannabis, in 2015 you'll see some voters' remorse as cities deal with a lot of people using a lot of pot because now it's legal. And third, pot of gold. Despite the pushback, more states will legalize adult-use marijuana. The biggest of all coming probably in 2016, California, where most of the nation's homegrown illegal pot is already produced in Humboldt County. The local Humboldt newspaper is warning growers fearing an eventual takeover by Big Tobacco. Quote, legal pot is coming. Plan now or fail. Jane Wells, CNBC Radio.
There are three letters in the alphabet that strike terror in most of us. These are the three letters you need to avoid at all costs. IRS. If the IRS is coming after you for $15,000 or more in back taxes, you don't want to fight them alone. You need the help of the tax resolution experts at U.S. Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. If you qualify, U.S. Tax Relief can settle your tax debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000 in back taxes, call U.S. Tax Relief now for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Hi, this is Colonel Kurt Gallegos, Commander of the Air Force Reserve's 944th Fighter Wing at Luke Air Force Base here in Arizona. Serving part-time in the Air Force Reserve in Arizona will allow you to advance your civilian career or continue your education. You will receive excellent training, educational assistance, and many other benefits. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212. This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Looking for new car insurance? Call Ready for My Quote, 800-264-1896. Ready for My Quote takes the hassle away by connecting you directly to the best plan for your driving needs. Call Ready for My Quote, 800-264-1896, 24 hours a day to skip the hassle and save time on finding new auto insurance. Good driver? Bad driver? Accident history? There's a plan for all drivers with Ready for My Quote. If you want the best plan, save time and money on auto insurance by calling Ready for My Quote, 800-264-1896.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and...
Money is what we talk about. We're Money Radio, 1510, KFNN Mesa, Phoenix, and 99.3 FM K25.